Political London Playbook, No Love for May at Fort de Bragansen, Worst Job in Westminster, Gove's Climate Fizz. By Tom McTagg. Send tips here, subscribe for free, view in your browser. Good Friday morning. Tom McTagg, Politico's chief UK correspondent, here for one last time. Jack's back with you on Monday. Worst job in Westminster, no, not Theresa May's. How about spinning Brexit for the Home Office? Sajid Javid's department is currently advertising for a head of EU exit communications. Salary, £75,000 to £85,000. To apply, you must be an empowering leader with the proven ability to grasp complex issues swiftly as well as excellent political judgment and news awareness. If you've got all that, you might want to have a crack at Brexit itself. Driving the day. Brexit summit, a big day for the Prime Minister as she jets into the south of France for dinner with Emmanuel Macron at his presidential retreat, Fort de Bragansen. While the food is sure to be great, she shouldn't expect a Brexit concession for dessert. Politico's top Brexit boffins Charlie Cooper and David Herzenhorn report. Despite a concerted diplomatic push by the government, there is little sign the EU's red lines are shifting. The story from Brussels remains the same, Irish backstop now, trade talks later. May is asking for concessions on both. Barnier, before May even landed in France, the EU's chief Brexit negotiator Michel Barnier appeared to torpedo the main element of May's compromise plan agreed at Chequers last month, i.e. the UK remaining in the single market for goods to keep the Irish border open without creating a new barrier in the Irish Sea. In an op-ed published Thursday, Barnier wrote that the UK wants to keep free movement of goods between us, but not of people and services, which would undermine the European single market and the legal order of the EU. Merkel, in Berlin too, Charlie and David report there is little sign of a shift. There hasn't been any change whatsoever, a German foreign policy official insisted. What will happen, Madame May? What was it you said? You said, Brexit means Brexit and we will make a success of it. And now you turn up here because you have not made a success of it, you have made a mess of it. As imagined by the Independent's Tom Peck. United States dollar, money, money, money. United States dollar, Apple yesterday won the race to be the world's first company worth $1 trillion. Yes, that's $1 trillion. To put things in perspective, Britain's annual GDP is only $2.5 trillion. Warning, Yahoo News points out PetroChina was the first company in the world to hit the $1 trillion mark back in 2007. Before losing 80% of its value since. Ouch. Too rich for tax, Amazon is leading the charge to be the next US tech giant to hit the $1 trillion mark. Shame it can't find the cash to pay much tax in the UK. Last year the online mega business saw its pre-tax profits in the UK triple to £72 million. But its corporation tax bill halved to £4.5 million. The story makes The Guardian, Telegraph, FT, Times and The Splash in The Mail and The Mirror. Anti-Semitism, the Corbynistas are fighting back. After a split emerged on the Labour left about how to handle the rolling scandal, with momentum breaking ranks to call for a tougher line, Corbyn's most vociferous supporters began to rally yesterday. By last night, the hashtag #WeAreCorbyn was trending on Twitter. Power, at the heart of the matter lies a set of elections to Labour's ruling National Executive Committee, which Corbyn's supporters have long seen as the holy grail for control of the party. A slate of 9 Corbyn loyalists has been put forward by the left for election to the body this month, including Peter Wilsman, who was caught on tape dismissing allegations of anti-Semitism in the party. Momentum and some high-profile Corbynistas called for Wilsman to withdraw from the race, which he has not done. Corbyn's most hard-line supporters have now doubled down, pushing ahead with their campaign for the JC9 to be elected in full. Voting closes on August 30th. I've got more on the split threatening the Corbyn project here. How did it all start? The BBC has produced an excellent 4.5-minute clip on how it all kicked off and why we are where we are. Olive Branch, Labour has been in talks with the Jewish Museum over Corbyn using the venue to address the growing anti-Semitism crisis, the Jewish Chronicle revealed last night. Museum Chief Executive Abigail Morris said the situation was delicate and she did not want to agree to something that will make things worse. BBC Row, all is not well at the BBC after the flagship Today program lost almost 1 million listeners in the last 12 months, falling to 6.8 million from 7.7 million. Former presenter Sarah Montague, who jumped ship to the World at One after being left incandescent with rage when she discovered she was paid much less than the other presenters, tweeted, "There is a news program on at BK Radio 4 that has not lost listeners over the quarter at BK World at One. Just saying." Picking up her pen, Today editor Sarah Sands writes in The Telegraph that the program is not in crisis, the whole news media is. Climate fizz: England produces better fizz than France thanks to climate change. Which brings opportunities for the UK, Michael Gove claimed yesterday. That's what you might call a punchy argument. The Environment Secretary told BBC Countryfile Live in Oxford that warmer weather meant a top harvest for English sparkling wine. Which, he said, proved British resilience and joie de vivre hashtag despite Brexit. Gove said some English wines were now officially higher quality and better tasting than the finest champagne from France. Quote, "One of the challenges, or opportunities, dare I say, of a changing climate is the chalky soil of parts of England. Combined with the weather we just had, means that English sparkling wine will have a bumper harvest this year." Trumped, top scoop from BuzzFeed, which reports Trump's tweeted order to U.S. officials not to endorse the G7 statement he had just agreed with world leaders has been, well, ignored. Almost 2 months on, those instructions from Trump have never been acted upon. Two sources who were directly involved in the G7 process told BuzzFeed News. Russia spy: The Guardian has landed the extraordinary tale of a Russian spy working undetected in the heart of the American embassy in Moscow for more than a decade. The Russian was hired by the U.S. Secret Service and had access to the agency's intranet and email systems, the paper reports. U.S. counterintelligence investigators only discovered the scandal in 2017. Fireworks in the White House: Donald Trump's press secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders refused to say the press were not the enemy of the people, and instead launched an angry attack on the media for frequently lowering the level of conversation in the U.S. Watch here. Politico's Rebecca Morin writes that the Trump administration is split over the issue. Mogg meets the notorious, "It's not April Fool's Day." Jacob Rees-Mogg really did casually saunter past UFC star Conor McGregor in New York. Watch. World of Brexit. Business warning: one in five businesses would seriously consider relocating to the EU if the exit negotiations deteriorate. A report by the Institute of Directors warns today. The business body wants the government to publish its no-deal guidance to help firms. A survey it carried out of 800 business leaders revealed less than a third have conducted any Brexit contingency planning. Reuters picks up the story here. Fast-track medicine: The Telegraph says doctors could qualify more quickly after Brexit to help tackle staffing shortages in the NHS. Health Minister Stephen Barclay tells the paper that EU membership means medical students have to undergo 5 years of training before they are registered as doctors. After Brexit, Britain could allow some students to qualify in as little as 3 years. Tories for Remain: Sarah Wollaston has become the second Conservative MP to officially join the campaign for another Brexit referendum, Business Insider reports. Expect this to grow. EEA rumblings: what happens if everything falls apart and May cannot reach a deal with Brussels? That is the question troubling Conservative MPs this summer. One solution doing the rounds is that to avoid a no-deal Brexit, which might not be possible given the arithmetic in the House of Commons, the UK might have to park itself in the single market, Norway style, while it prepares for further steps away from Brussels. Politico wrote about the option last month here. Now the FT reports Michael Gove privately discussed a variant of the idea at a dinner with moderate Conservative MPs and peers. Denial: Gove yesterday denied the FT's story. Asked by the Press Association if he'd discussed the plan, he said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Sources close to Gove suggested he was playing devil's advocate from the EU's point of view. Today in Westminster. Recess: the House of Commons is in recess until September 4th. Holiday hunger: food banks are braced to hand out 250,000 meals to children during the school holidays, according to a report by the charity Trussell Trust, picked up by the Mirror. The need for extra support during the summer is triggered by kids who would usually get free school meals needing to be fed at home instead. Petition: an interesting development in the slightly geeky world of parliamentary committees. For the first time, a House of Commons Select Committee is consulting the public on its draft recommendations before publishing its final report, the Petitions Committee announced last night. It's launching the consultation as part of its inquiry into online abuse and the experience of people with disabilities. Media Round. Today, new chief of the defense staff, Nick Carter. 7:30 a.m., Bank of England Governor Mark Carney, 8:10 a.m. Reviewing the papers tonight, BBC News, 10:45 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. Evening Standard's home editor Martin Bentham and France 24's UK correspondent Benedict Paviot. Sky News, 10:30 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. The Mirror's Susie Boniface and the FT's Seb Payne. Any questions? Rich LaShaw hosts the show from the Mercy Centre on Mercy Island, Essex, with a panel including the Shadow International Trade Secretary Barry Gardner, Professor of Politics and International Relations at Kent University Matt Goodwin, writer Germaine Greer and former Cabinet Minister Preeti Patel. Today's front pages. Click on the publication's name to see its front page. City AM, Apple wins $1 trillion value race. Daily Express, 3-week wait to see your doctor. Daily Mail, they're taking us for fools. Daily Mirror, Amazon now pays even less tax. Financial Times, Apple is worth $1 trillion. Huff Post, Brussels drought. End of the ultra-cheap credit age. Independent, leading scientists spec call for Brexit deal vote. Metro, bank warns of more rate rises. The Daily Telegraph, Army chief, I'll protect troubles veterans. The Guardian, air pollution linked to early symptoms of heart failure. The Times, women with disabilities raped by visa cheats. On the continent, read what the rest of Europe's papers are saying in Politico's EU Press Review blog here, updated daily at around 8 a.m. Today's News Mags. Economist, in the line of fire, losing the war against climate change. Thank pod, it's Friday. Weekend listening, the lineups from today's best podcast interviews. Click on the links to listen. EU Confidential, in this week's main interview Ryan Heath hears from Sue Duke, the global head of public policy for LinkedIn. She explains how the masses of labor market data generated by the company's 167 million users in Europe can help policymakers. Listen on SoundCloud, Apple iTunes, Stitcher. The Spectator podcast. The podcast explores the opportunities and dangers of a closer relationship with China, as well as exploring what exactly a no-deal Britain would look like. With Michael Loslin, Carrie Brown, David Collins, Charles Grant, Will Heaven, and Damian Thompson. Presented by Lara Prendergast. Chopper's Brexit podcast, Health Minister Stephen Barclay, Professor Matthew Goodwin, The Telegraph's Europe editor Peter Foster, Open Europe director Henry Newman, Conservative grassroots spokesman Josh Lamkin and British Beer and Pub Association CEO Bridget Simmons. Trotters up. Anger management, Nick Clegg will be back in September. Political thinking, Nick Robinson also back in September. Your weekend in politics. Sunday shows, they're all off air until September. Except for BBC Radio 4's Westminster Hour, which like Playbook will be valiantly pushing on through for your pleasure. Sunday night viewing, must-see TV on Sunday night. Episode 2 of Ed Ball's new show, Travels in Trumpland. Exploring Donald Trump's heartland in the Deep South. This week Balls spends a night in a crowded jail and another on police patrol in a rough Louisiana neighborhood. He also interviews Samantha Fuente, a student injured during February's Parkland school shooting. Is America safe? Is the central question. Tune in at 9 p.m. on BBC Two. Centrist dads, for those who think Gary Lineker is the savior of Remainer Britain, the season's first match of the day airs on Sunday, 10:30 p.m., with highlights of the Community Shield between Manchester City and Chelsea. Beyond the M25. From Brussels. Catalan offer, Belgium's nationalist New Flemish Alliance is making moves to court former Catalan leader Carles Puigdemont with a place on the party's electoral list for next year's European election, two people briefed on the discussion said. Read Lawrence Cerullo's and Gabriella Galindo's report here. From the Vatican. Deadly sin, Pope Francis declared Thursday that the death penalty is always inadmissible in a reform of the Catholic Church's official stance on capital punishment. More here. From Berlin. Will Germany learn to love the bomb? As Germany's establishment becomes increasingly convinced that Donald Trump's aggressive rhetoric toward Berlin and NATO represents a seminal shift in transatlantic relations, some are daring to think the unthinkable. Does Germany need the bomb? Politico's Matthew Karnischnig has more. London Culling. Westminster weather, fire, 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 oh no. It's even hotter today, 32°C and sunny. Happy birthday to Labour MP Thangam Debonair. Good luck. CCHQ's Kerry Simons is leaving Westminster after 8 years to work in ocean conservation for Bloomberg, starting in September. Kerry has been around the houses, Tory head of broadcast in the 2015 election, special advisor to John Whittingdale and Sajid Javid, and then director of communications for the party. See you soon? David Davis's former chief of staff Stuart Jacko Jackson announced on Twitter last night that he would not be seeking the Conservative nomination in Peterborough again. But Playbook understands this is not the last Westminster is likely to see of him. Jackson is eyeing other seats for the election in 2022. Or perhaps, even earlier, though it's unclear how the current resident of No. 10 might feel about that. Playbook couldn't happen without my editor Zoyashev Palevich. Subscribe to the Politica newsletter family. Brussels Playbook, London Playbook, Sunday Crunch, Brussels Influence, DC Playbook, all our Politico pro-policy morning newsletters.